As we know, Superior Court Judge Sarah Taft Carter has ordered mediation in the pension case. What yardstick will you use in determining whether you would throw your support behind a possible negotiated settlement?
You know, Ian, as I've said many times, I have great respect for the judge in this case and the Rhode Island judiciary. This judge has ordered the parties to mediate, and we'll be participating in that mediation in good faith.
Do you have a number in mind if, say, 75%, 90% of the savings of last year's pension overhaul could be preserved? Do you have a number in mind for what would be acceptable to you?
You know, as we discussed prior to the interview, the mediation is confidential, and so I am not allowed to talk about it. No one is, and we will be participating in good faith per the court order.
You're considered a likely candidate for governor in 2014, and Governor Chafee says he plans to seek re-election. So is it possible to leave politics out of this mediation process?
The pension reform bill that the General Assembly passed was a tremendous step forward for the state of Rhode Island. It secured people's pensions, so they will have a pension when they retire, and it saved $4 billion for the people of Rhode Island. About $1 billion of that is for our municipalities. So I'm so, you know, proud of the work the General Assembly did. And I believe the reason that whole process, which was transparent and many months long, was successful is because, by and large, people did leave politics aside. You know, they acted out of interest to protect all Rhode Islanders and to protect people's pensions. And I'm confident that, you know, the great work that led to this reform, that has made Rhode Island a national leader in this regard, Rhode Island is now known as the state who put politics aside to do the right thing for the people, and I think we're going to stay on that path.
What are your top goals for 2013?
So as you know, this past year we launched my financial empowerment program. Really excited to continue to grow that program and build it out. That's a program, as you know, it's designed to help make Rhode Islanders financially secure, one family at a time, one person at a time. We launched the Financial Coaching Corps, and we're going to really build that out next year. I plan to be active in the payday debate. I think it's about time that we protect Rhode Island families from predatory lending like payday. And we're going to continue to do the work that we've started helping municipalities to work on their pension issues.
You mentioned payday lending, so let me follow up with that. There are some people who think the lobbying influence of former Speaker William Murphy was decisive in why the General Assembly did not take steps to change payday lending in Rhode Island. Will it be different this year? And if so, why do you think so?
I hope it's different this year. I think it's my job and the job of the members of the General Assembly, all public servants, to represent the interest of all the people in Rhode Island. It's Bill Murphy's job to represent his special interest. You know, he's a paid lobbyist for a particular company, and he's going to do that job. But it's my job to look out for all the families and people in Rhode Island who are being taken advantage of by predatory lending practices. I believe we can do an even better job this year educating people around what payday lending is, and I'm going to be working again with the coalition to do that. Payday lending is by its design a loan trap. You know, it's a predatory product designed to trap people in a debt spiral. And the majority of profits from payday lending companies come from individuals who take out 6, 7, 8, 9 loans. Once folks really understand how bad this practice is, they'll, you know, lobby against it.
A lot of people can expect you to run for governor in 2014. You say that's not chief among your concerns right now. What is your timetable for revealing your plans for 2014?
You know, I don't really have a timetable. As you say, it's interesting how much focus there is on it when we still have 2 years to go before the election and a lot of work to do. So, you know, as you say, my primary concern is working hard as treasurer. I've never worked this hard in my life. I love the job, and there's a lot of work to do. I am thinking about running, and at some point I'll have to make that decision.
Is there any chance that you would change your political affiliation from Democrat for a campaign in 2014?
You know, it's interesting. Again, I would say I'm not thinking about it. A lot of people are talking about that. I'm a Democrat. I believe in government. I'm personally a beneficiary of government. I wouldn't be where I am without the RIP to bus, and my dad went to college on the GI Bill. I'm in government because I believe in government. I believe that we have to make government work. You know, everyone talks about the size of government. I believe the right focus is does government work? Let's make it effective. Let's take a balanced approach and make government part of the solution. So I very much believe in government, and I think that's very consistent with being a Democrat.
Are you ruling out changing your party affiliation?
I really haven't thought about it.
Are you a Democrat to stay?
As I said, I'm not. I know you're trying to, you know, get me to say, put words in my mouth, and I'm not going to go there.
I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. I'm trying to get you to answer a question, but we can move on. In terms of Engage Rhode Island, when asked about whether Engage Rhode Island should disclose its contributors, previously you had noted how the law did not require that sort of organization to disclose its contributors. You recently told the Providence Journal that you think Engage Rhode Island should disclose its contributors. Why are you now saying that disclosure is a good thing?
Well, actually, you were the one that asked me the question on Newsmakers. What if there were people who had a self-interest in pension reform? And I said then, I'll reiterate it now, everyone has an interest in pension reform. If you're a school teacher in the system, pension reform's in your interest because now we can promise you your pension will be there. If you're a taxpayer in Rhode Island, pension reform is in your interest because this saved $4 billion of taxpayer money. If you're a municipality or a municipal leader in Rhode Island, pension reforms in your interest because we likely averted bankruptcy of one or more municipalities through pension reform. So, you know, pension reform was a huge step forward for Rhode Island, and I think everyone had an interest. Having said that, you know, I think, as you know, I've been very consistent that I believe in transparency. I launched the state's first ever investor relations portal. It provides a transparent look at all of the state's finances. I run my campaign in a very transparent way. And I think all of these organizations, you know, whether it's super PACs or, you know, whatever it is, we ought to disclose. You know, all of these organizations should disclose. And certainly I will always continue to be committed to transparency in all the work that I do.
And yet you did not make this call for Engage Rhode Island to disclose its contributors until recently. Why then?
You know, a year ago, I was very focused on pension reform. I think what Engage did was excellent. You know, they brought to the table a very positive approach. It was extremely important to me personally that we never do any union bashing, that we respect collective bargaining rights. And I appreciate that Engage took a very positive approach to pension reform. Having said that, you know, I wish they disclosed.
In the run-up to the General Assembly's consideration of the pension overhaul last year, we heard people like Governor Chafee, Providence Mayor Angel Taveras asking for municipalities to be included in that, saying that legislative remedies were needed to help municipalities cut their pension problems down to size. In the time since, we've seen a lot of negotiation around municipal pensions. Mayor Taveras has made some progress on that. Governor Chafee was outspoken in calling for negotiation on the state pension overhaul. What do you make of this? Is there a contradiction here?
Well, you know, the pension reform bill that the General Assembly passed, I think, handled municipal pensions in the right way, which is to say they didn't violate collective bargaining agreements, they didn't try to overturn contracts via statute, and certainly that was very important to me. You know, I've been a strong supporter of contracts and collective bargaining from the beginning, and I didn't want to get behind a statute that would abrogate collectively bargained for contracts. So I, having said that, we have a municipal pension problem, and mayors need to get to the table and deal with that problem. So I think the way that the General Assembly handled it in the bill was the right way, which is to say they told municipalities, you have to fix these problems, you have a timeline by which you have to fix the problems, you have to base it on good data. And it gets back to your question about politics and how do we leave the politics aside. I think a year ago there was some politics going on, but I'm so pleased a year later, you know, the pension reform legislation is working. You know, Providence, as you said, consistent with the legislation and compliance with the legislation, took some good steps forward. I know Johnston is working on it. Cranston is working on it. So I think, again, I think we have a lot to be proud of, and municipal leaders have a lot to be proud of. These are hard choices, tough choices, but essential choices and essential decisions, and they're doing the work. And they're doing it in the right way. You know, doing it the right way. They're respecting the contracts. They're finding balanced approaches.
If a settlement can't be reached through this mediation process, do you believe that the pension overhaul will hold up in court?
Yes. I mean, we certainly believe that this bill is constitutional. And as a matter of law, it's presumed to be constitutional until the Rhode Island Supreme Court holds otherwise.
State Treasurer Gina Raimondo, thank you for sitting down with us.
Thanks, Ian.